That's mad.
This looks really like civilized, doesn't it?
It does.
The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to another episode of the Football Pod. I've got Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue with me. We're in person, we're together. We decided we needed to catch up, didn't we?
Yes, it's great. Yeah.
I only had to travel 5.5 hours to get here.
Yes.
The only one who travelled.
Yeah, as usual.
Yeah. Where is here? That is the question. We've got a very special episode of the pod coming next week with two All-Ireland winners from Armagh. We actually aren't sitting in Armagh. We're in Louth. We're in the Carrickdale Hotel. But I don't think will we give it away? I don't think we'll give it away who we're talking to yet. Safe. But they'll be box office.
Yeah. Looking forward to catching up. But don't know these two gentlemen. They have big seasons. And I'm sure they've had a busy and enjoyable couple of months. So looking forward to catching up with the two lads, yeah.
Because, you know, we haven't heard much of the fallout from the celebrations or...
Not a peep, no.
There's been relatively little scandal at all, really.
We'll see now in about 20 minutes.
We need to get to the bottom of a few things.
They had their function, their homecoming here tonight that they wanted, so I'm sure they have some good memories. Yeah. We've got a production team behind us here. Kathleen, you might just do me a wee favour while we're chatting. I have a feeling that both Paddy and James are going to jump out of shot, so you might just double check it whenever you have a chance.
Out of shot?
Yeah, just the way you sat back there, P, when you had your little coffee.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you were kind of James Richardson vibes going on, but Kathleen can...
Just too relaxed.
Kathleen can produce in lifetime. Paddy, I have a question for you.
Yes.
What sort of a loser are you?
Yeah, it's different when you stop playing. Like, I would say this, like, I wouldn't be that competitive now, but when I was playing, yeah, the same as anyone. Like, it's
will so, you not be ultra competitive even when it comes to like golf? And
no, absolutely not. Genuinely, since I'm out,
it's very relaxing the golf course.
Oh yeah, because I'm
except when he smashed that club over the knee.
I know I'm shy at golf, so I don't have higher expectations. But no, genuinely, when I'm out nearly 4 years now, it's one of the biggest differences. It's like. And definitely not. There's a difference in my mindset in terms of competition and things like that than when you were in it. You have to be such a ruthless bastard when you're playing. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's a nice break, kind of easing back from that pressure. But it wouldn't be that overly competitive now. I don't think you lads are, Jimmy. I know you're still playing club, Jimmy T. You're still playing club as well. Like, but
I'd be competitive enough in everything, though. Even if it came to playing pool or cards.
You'd be cheating a good bit as well, yeah.
A fair amount. But like, even
what sort of a loser are you, though? And I don't mean a good loser, bad loser in the sense that you shake hands. Everyone does that. You know, there's a way to lose and you have a bit of grace.
Well, I can explain away the loss
to
quickly.
To yourself.
A very good excuse merchant.
Do you eat yourself up?
No, the only... Well, when it comes to football, definitely, yes. Yeah. Definitely. That's the hardest defeat to take, like, is the football one, because, you know, if you're feeling terrible... that the other team is elated, you know, and it's that jealousy and the, you know, and especially with the club, you know, everyone is so committed and everyone's given us such a good lash, and then to come up short, it does eat at you for a long time.
Yeah. Particularly if you haven't performed. Yeah. Like, I would have found, I think most players are like, you would have spoken to this in the pod before, you would be very, most players are quite critical of themselves. I don't know whether it's like an Irish thing or a sports person thing, where it's like, you could do 10 things good in a match, but I would have been obsessive with my own performance at times, going, Jesus, that's a bad miss, or didn't play well and things like that. And it does, it gets heavy on you. Like, it really, really does, because it means so much to you. Mm. Again, particularly later on in your career as I got a bit older, maybe you realise time's ticking away, but I would have been very hard on myself if I didn't perform to the levels I felt I could. Like, but that's... I'd say you'd nearly
be like that even after a win as well.
Yeah, you know, like, could I have done more? Like,
I should have done more, I could have done better, but when it comes to losing, even if you play well and you've lost, that's nearly as bad, though, because, like, I could do no more and I'm still getting bit. Like,
well, that's just sport, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's the cruel side of it. That's, then, that's the worst part of it.
Why are you saying?
Start pointing fingers at
Because
we were beaten in a championship semi-final in Krakow at the weekend.
I knew you wanted to get that in.
Jesus.
I'm wallowing.
Like, enjoy and catch up on him. We're talking to winners here today, and you're coming in. Oh, I have to drive home with him in the car for an hour and a half.
But I'm low, like. It's horrible.
Do you actually still feel.
Remember, was it Saturday?
It was Saturday evening, yeah.
Yeah, you
were. We didn't, like...
A couple of weeks, get over that.
We didn't perform, like... You know, we were 2-2 to no score down after 10 minutes.
Do you know what you need now? An O'Donoghue Cup.
Something.
One in more, 2 weeks' time. One more competition. Just a change of focus. Next game, bang.
But that's the depressing part of it. And actually, I do envy you with that. You can look forward to something. Whereas, like, I was nearly texting one or two lads yesterday saying, like, I wouldn't be good at drinking after a loss either. I just, if I'm not in the form for it, they just taste worse than they do in general. But you do want something. You do want to be with the lads. You want to be kind of with the team that you're training with all the time. But in the morning, like, so I don't know what to try and get a few of the boys out in the golf course, play a bit of golf somewhere, go on the beer maybe next week. But just that day after it, when you're parsing through it, maybe it helps being together. I don't know.
I think so, yeah. I think that's the beauty of team sport, that it's incredible when you win together, and it's also you people around you who just know exactly how you feel when it doesn't go as well. And that's in any team sport, but particularly I would feel like if we'd a couple of bad defeats with the club, a couple of bad ones with Dublin, particularly in my early stages of career, and you do just want to, you don't really want to talk to anyone else outside of it.
You mentioned something there. Would you find there's a huge amount of emotion you're carrying? And maybe this is sports psychology and where it comes into it these days, but would you find a massive lull, or it's an emptiness of something because you've been building towards something? Like, I know nobody's died when you've lost, but a dream has died.
Yeah, it's hard, like, but that's because you care so much about it. Like, you know, whatever level you're at, you put whatever 6 months, 9 months, the whole year, most of your life goes into trying to perform. You know, you love Gaelic football, that's what we're all passionate about, and we're fortunate enough to have played at the levels we did. But when you lose, yeah, it's hard.
You lose that focus that you've had, don't you? That's the
routine. Yeah.
It's actually the enjoyment of the journey is better, because every night you have a focus, you have something to do, you're meeting the lads, you have a goal.
You have recovery Monday, training Tuesday, gym Wednesday, Thursday.
But you know, having a good group is key to losing as well, because especially when you're talking about drinking pints and going out together. If you have a group that wants to point fingers and maybe blame each other or you know, make excuses for themselves, it turns toxic very quickly. Whereas if you have a good group and one or two fellas pull you in and say, lads, you know, we didn't have a bad year here, we just were unlucky in the day, we'll stick together, and then you go and you have a no bitching and you enjoy a few pints, you can actually grow from that then. So it can really go either way for
teams. I know next week we'll air the pod with the two lads here, but we're talking to two fellas who would have been through
the mill,
devastating defeats you know, over the last number of years, and it makes the journey to the top all the sweeter, but that's just part of sport.
It must have been so sweet though.
It tastes a lot better when you're coming back from something. 100%.
For no one to have said you were going to win it, having four penalty shootout defeats,
4-0 from 4, yeah.
And then to come back and win the All Ireland, that must have been like the amount of times they had to pull in and say, "We're fine, we'll be fine, we're going somewhere." Like, that takes a strength.
But
so
we spoke about it. So after Ulster final again to Donegal, we would have been talking on the pod the next evening. Like, how did they come back from this? Like another one, and what is it, 8 weeks later, all are the champions. So that's keep the faith, T.
I want to ask him.
We need to get him on the positivity track.
I want to ask him what McGeaney was saying to him at those times. Yeah. Like, did he have kind of a standard speech after they lost each time, or like, did he have to be creative to get him back on the horse?
Like after four defeats, you need something to keep you going. Like, four
coming the fourth time, you're probably thinking, "Oh, not this fella again."
But
come on,
you look back that Donegal win that penalty shootout, and the camera cuts to McGeaney. It cuts him before the penalty shootout, and he's kind of smiling with the players, kind of thinking, how are we here again? Like, and kind of nearly like a. like an evil smile, he's thinking to himself, surely we can't lose this one as well. And then the camera cuts to him after the match, and he's as devastated as the players.
But you know, they lost two penalty shootouts, right? Maybe 3-1 or 4-2 or something. Yeah. But then he lost a man in 9-8. Yeah. Like, they did a great penalty shootout. Yeah. They did a brilliant shootout.
He's asking him 6-5, like, you know?
Yeah, 6-5. Oh. Sometimes you just genuinely can't do anymore.
You're intrigued. Penalty shootouts are a bit like Marmite, aren't they? Like some people, I'm a fan of them. As from an entertainment perspective, they're thrilling to watch. But I wonder, are the players keen on it? Like, these two guys haven't gone through their four. Is there?
I think your players like it. Jelly going up there.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. I wouldn't have fancied it myself, no. But it's great to
watch. It'd be way easier to take a penalty in normal time than it would be to actually wait your turn in the shootout, walk up, And the amount of time you're thinking about it, from when the final whistle goes in extra time, I'd say from halfway through extra time you're thinking, I'm going to take a penalty here.
You could see this coming, like,
And then you start going tentative probably in the game, but it's on your mind, that's where the demons come up.
We'll come back to penalties in a minute. I apologise for starting on a lull, it's just, you know where you're at though, like it wasn't your fault. It's grim.
It wasn't your fault.
It wasn't all my fault. Yeah, but you're right about the group though, that's a really important thing. You know, actually losing the right way and being able to build on it. And it's funny, it's like an infection. Like you're already thinking of how can I get better for next year? How can I, it's a bit of lunacy, like, so how can I do that differently? But anyways, that was that this weekend. Loads of teams won and lost over the weekend. We'll be coming back to that in a minute. I want to come back to penalties in a minute too, because there was one pretty high profile one. We are here in the Carrickdale Hotel speaking to two of Armagh's All-Ireland winners with thanks to the Football Pod. Sorry, with thanks to AIB. They do, of course, bring the Football Pod on the road all over the place. AIB are now proud sponsors of the Ladies Football, the Men's Football, the Camogie and the Hurling Club Championships. So check out hashtag the toughest for more. Yeah, so they're totally back in club. And we'll be talking to our two Armagh boys about their clubs as well. One of them has something to look forward to this weekend, so that's a big one. James, last minute of a game, championship semi-final, you have a penalty, there's probably 90 seconds to go, injury time, you're James O'Donoghue, are you going for goal?
I actually had this conversation with a couple of people on Sunday evening. It's very hard, like the circumstances was, you're talking about Clifford's penalty obviously.
Yeah, we're talking about East Kerry against Dingle in the rain in Austin Stack Park.
There was level at
the
time.
They were level.
Oh, it was level.
Yeah. It was level time. A very, I would say, harsh penalty was given against Paul Ganey. Someone went for the ball. And
what was Ganey doing back there?
They were just getting to extra time. Right. So the last play, just get out. Don't do anything stupid.
There probably was another minute after it.
There could have been, but every attack was taking so long. It was fine.
What did Ganey do?
He literally kind of went for the ball, and then Ronan Buckley just came across him, and as he was catching, he kind of went down. His momentum took him down. Right. But there could have been a little catching of the heels as well.
And who?
But
it was like to lose.
If the penalty did go in and they got knocked out on it, I'd be
raging.
You would be absolutely fuming. No, there wasn't that much argument about the penalty.
Did the ref give it?
The ref gave it straight away. Yeah.
Okay.
No, in real time, it did look like a penalty as well. So I can't. No, I'm not saying it was or wasn't a penalty, but you'd be raging if you got knocked out on it.
Yeah.
So Clifford took it. If he chipped it over the bar, the chances are that Dingle would have come back and had a shot at the post.
You got to go for a goal.
No, so he went for a goal.
What would struck you do, James? Because you would have taken penalties in that scenario. You were kind of stopped after the David Clark scenario.
Never allowed again. Yeah. We'd won Brian Sheridan. There's your maid mention.
Yes, he's
you. Sigerson Cup final in 10 against UCC, and we were 3 points up, and we got a pen on like a minute or two to go, and he actually just chipped it over the bar. And I was like,
and you held out?
Yeah, we won, but it was like, I think if you have a penalty, you go for goal. Like,
the Wolf was going for goal.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't.
What would you have done in that scenario?
I don't know. I'd like to say
it's East Kerry. It could have been East Kerry. Yeah.
Could have been you, Jim. It should have been you.
I'd have pretended I was chipping it over next thing. Right.
No, interesting.
You would have gone high so nobody knew what you were trying to do.
I don't know what I would have done. I think he did the right thing, going for it.
It was an unbelievable save from Gavin Kern.
It was phenomenal.
Keeper saved.
It was a great penalty.
Full length. It was a great penalty.
Power. Open up his body into the corner, just a phenomenal save, and he still got a 45 off it, so another chance. But
if
he gets it back, I wonder would he say he chip it over the bar? Probably not.
No,
you still go for it. You would still go 100%. For it. I think actually, no, I won't give away a secret. Wait till I retire. last minute penalty
for the booklet.
I know what I do.
Let's see, Legion still have it done. Who cup this winter? He doesn't want to give it away.
There's a specific penalty you got to do.
Okay.
Yeah. So look, that's the Kerry County Senior Championship final. It's going to be Dingle against Dr. Crooks.
Do you think in that situation, right, that someone will come over to the penalty taker and say, chip it over, we'll
get
hold
out
it out.
Face. What are the coaches coming over?
No, but say even a player.
You probably need, but who's going to say that to David Clifford? Cliff's the man. One of the leaders on the East Kerry team going to turn around and say that?
He is the leader, yeah, that's the thing.
So
like,
Paddy going to pull him and say, just stick it over the back?
Well, I think he was right to go for goal, to be honest, and just finish the game.
Mm. Yeah.
But the last thing you want is fellas coming over saying, do this, do that.
Yeah.
And next thing you've got that one.
What was it, the Chelsea scenario earlier this year when Madueke and Palmer and the boys were all fighting over the penalty, do you remember?
Carl Palmer, he's the man.
But nobody was fighting over the penalty when it actually came down to it in the last minute that time.
Yeah.
Do you know, they all wanted to win their 3-0 up.
So yeah, so that's Kerry. Like, Dr. Crokes put on a bit of a show with St. Brendan's, the highly vaunted St. Brendan's group that had a lot of players that are in intermediate this year from Cairns O'Rahilly and Stacks and what are the other clubs?
Ardfert,
yeah.
Nigelagan, their senior.
You got to give Crokes a bit of credit here.
I do. They won.
That's about the idea. Crokes again. Ah, both finals.
Well, Jesus. No, it's
no, the two clubs.
It's been divisional
in the final,
teams winning.
The two clubs in the final is good.
But the fact that they played last month, like.
The Crokes played a different kind of brand of football. They play kind of a slower game. Dingle would be more direct, so be interesting final.
Well, look, very hard to call. We'll see on that. I don't know. We're going to see a lot of club games, obviously, over the next couple of months, coming up to Christmas. This weekend, your Railway Cup is back, T.
Yes. Well, it's not the one I wanted.
Well,
I wanted 30s to 40s. I wanted
the over 30s. Yeah, it would be nice. But
that would be nice.
I'm sure most people are intrigued to watch as a first outing for the new rules. I know there's lots of games that have been going on behind closed doors, but
have you seen any of the footage from the behind closed door games?
No, I've got a look at it. I have a couple of people who were at them at the games. So we'll see on.
It's supposed to be.
See on Friday night and Saturday night. Look, well, I know we'll chat about it more next week, but I am intrigued by it.
I think you need to see them in action.
I think everyone does, yeah. They all make sense.
Here's one of our men. We're going to have to edit this out because you're not supposed to be on this. How are you, lad?
What's the story, man? Good to see you.
What's the crack? Good to see you. You keeping well?
Keeping well, yeah.
OTB GAA.
So the new rules going to be really interesting this Friday and Saturday. We've got four games. You're going to have to see them in action because there's a lot to probably take in when people are looking at it on paper. Yeah. You know, there's seven core enhancements. It's kind of hard to kind of put your finger on what way they're going to go until you see them in action. I was at a game.
Go on.
I've seen footage from Kildare and Cavan, which was reckless in terms of the scoring that day. Daniel Flynn was playing that day as well. It's a little bit of a deeper role at one stage. Then he was a bit more inside.
Why the keeping the six guys in the opposition half?
That's the main change.
You can only defend with 12, like your keeper at 11.
So, what do you think? You've seen them.
You used to only defend with 6. Do you know what I mean?
I know, but maybe it might go back towards 12. That. Maybe it might go back towards that.
What did you? Are you in favour of them?
I'm in favour of a lot of it, and I think that we need to trust what's happened here, in terms of the people that have been put to come up with these rules, and I think they've done an exhaustive process and we need to give it a chance what they're saying to us, because there's incidents all the time. There's games we're all playing and there's no football being played. It's the game has lost itself to an extent.
Oh, it needs a massive change. But it needs enthusiasm as well from everyone.
But
are these
four games we're going to see at the weekend, is that enough to go? So we're going to bring in these? Because some of the rules are that major difference.
No.
One person in for throw up.
The solo and goal is going to work.
The solo goal, the kick out thing.
I don't like that one.
But do you know why that's a good rule? Because you can't solo and go it every time. If you solo and go it every time, you'll mess up. Like, but there are moments when it'll speed up the game and it'll work really well. But there are moments, I watch players solo and go it and get done for like a turnover straight away.
The rationale behind all of them, it makes sense. The seven main enhancements, it's just a case of, we're going to see them this weekend for the first time, and then it's a case of people like what they see this weekend and they're pretty low intensity, essentially challenge matches. Is that going to be enough to say, right, we're bringing all these in for next summer's championship?
Well, the point I would say is
massive changes to happen. I think I do agree they probably need time. Like, they probably keeping the pre-season competitions for one more year to trial these out might have been a better fit. But there's definitely a need and a will for some sort of enhancements. And look, we'll get to see it this weekend in Croker with some brilliant players. I think everyone's intrigued because everyone knows something needs to change. It's been going the wrong way for.
But the main
10
one
plus
to change
years, more probably
is three backs held back and three forwards held back. Like, that is revolutionary for the game on its own.
But how do you? There's still only one.
When
ref.
You add in the extra ones.
Is that trickier to kind of manage doing this and then the lads are all here? He's going to buy the 65.
I think that one, right, there's going to be a halfway line now, so it's going to make it a little bit more easier. And if you look at other sports that have something like this, nobody notices it. It's just a part of the game. It'll take a little bit of getting used to, but if it is to work, and if it does work, I don't think we'll know for sure this weekend, because I'll be at Boat Camps Friday and I'll be at Boat Camps Saturday evening. Saturday at 12 o'clock I'll be at an intermediate football final in Meath. My own club, Meath Hill, are playing in it. You cannot compare and contrast my home club.
Cretlow.
You cannot. No, that's the club I'm playing with now. You cannot compare and contrast. You cannot compare and contrast.
Highest combined transfer fees ever in Irish sport.
That is a great quiz question. But ask the lads.
You cannot compare and contrast like the difference in a must-do championship final with an exhibition game where there's a bit of a showcase going on. So do you know what the thing is? 2025, none of these rules are in the rule book. We're just trialing them really in 2025, what makes it true. So that is just the reality of the situation. There's going to be an asterisk beside the 2025 championship.
So none of these rules, if the weekend goes swimmingly, none of these rules, no matter what, are still going to be brought in for next summer's championship.
After this showcase, there is a vote in special Congress for whatever to go through. If 7 go through, fantastic. If 5 go through, brilliant, we'll work with that. Whatever way it goes, those rules are in place for all of 2025 in club and county, but there will be a continual review going on throughout the year itself. And then at the end of that season, they will say, that worked, that didn't. Okay. We're going with this.
So the whole of 2025 is a trial.
Yeah, and that's it. Because see, we can only change rules in the GAA every 5 years. That's the way it goes. So this is a huge opportunity to change rules.
To get them all in or wait another 4.5 years.
But that's it. Like, well, to an extent, yeah.
So that's it. Yeah.
Is it going to be the case of whatever comes in for intercounty comes in for club?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it okay?
Clubs are given a grace period until 31st of March to get their pitches in line and a few other bits and pieces. But yeah, that'll be it. Like, so.
What do we think? What's definitely got to get in? If you were to say.
Once the three in,
that's probably the biggest change, though.
I think once that's in, game has changed. That will be the game changer. That is going to be brilliant for the game.
The scoring system?
I think that's going to be phenomenal. I think that's going to be really fun. Like.
It is, but you know, that scoring arc is not that far out.
No.
It's 40 metres, right? So it's a good 5 metres inside.
You've got only little legs. You couldn't kick it over 40 metres. What about me trying to fist the ball over
fist
the bar?
It over now.
So a 4 for a goal.
Four for a goal. But see, the 4 for a goal, this is why it's really important. And I can understand why people are questioning a lot of this stuff. I've been inundated in reports and being a meet to this stuff, so I'm kind of on top of it. The 4 points for a goal needs to happen.
Definitely.
With the 2 points score.
Oh, 100%.
You know,
otherwise,
you're never going to go for a
They're complimentary of each other.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So look, I think we'll do a pod maybe next week after the rules, see how we all feel about them. There'll be a couple more county finals. There's a couple of other big results this weekend. In Galway, we had the semi-finals. Carfin got over the line against Salton Knockacarra. They really held them at arm's length. And they're going to be playing Mike Cullen. That's a repeat of last year's final. They bet Tuam Stars. I think Tuam Stars kicked four of the last wides in that game. Four of the last shots were their wides. So they won that by a goal. We had Kilcoo winning in Down. We had a Derry semi-final televised on Saturday night, and a lot of people were saying afterwards, if Jim Gavin needs to do Anthony Special Congress, it's just show that game. So that's a very young Newbridge side up against Glenn, who held off Shocknield. That'll be played in that final. That'll be a cracker. In Armagh next weekend, we've got Clonairn up against Clonagale, an all Lurgan final. So we'll be talking about that in a little while with one of our special guests. And there was Donegal, St Eunan's one. Any other bits and pieces catch your eye over the weekend?
No, I think this weekend is big. Obviously, the county final. The club season is really starting to kick in.
We've got Coola, Kilmacud Crokes next weekend. How do you see that?
Crokes. I don't know. Like, Coola were very good against Ballymun in the semi final. I thought Ballymun might nick that one, but Coola were full value for that. Crokes been doing what Crokes do. They've been kind of keeping everyone at arm's length. You just feel when push comes to shove, the experience they have and.
Have they full deck?
And they've Manny and Walsh.
And they both play?
Every time.
And they've Paddy O'Connor from Sligo, who's a cracking footballer.
Every time you watch them, going, well, they have that. And it's just cool. Cool about us in the B Championship, was it 3 years ago? And they're back and they're in the Senior A final now on Sunday. So it's a massive opportunity for them. They obviously had incredible success with the hurling a couple of years back.
He's moving well.
Again, at that level, it's such a handful. Probably leaning towards Crokes. Form-wise to date, Coola have probably been the most impressive team, but Crokes just know how to get it done.
Who will they match up with, Con?
Will they put Theo Clancy on him? Has he been fitting
to a couple of knocks?
A couple of knocks.
O'Carroll kind of plays a sitting role. Yeah. It's hard to know. Like, it's hard for anyone to kind of go man to man.
It could nearly come down to that.
Yeah. And then you'll probably pick up Mannion at the other end, but then who do Coola put on Shane Walsh? Both teams are really well coached, really well organised. They don't tend to leave themselves open. But I'll probably lean towards Crokes for that, yeah.
We've got the Meath Senior Football Final. That's going to be a very good game. Wolf Tones are playing Dunshaughlin. In Monaghan, we'll have Clontibret up against Goffstown. Watch the two Monaghan semi finals this weekend. Conor McManus, still one of the best forwards in the show. He's back after injury. He was away for 2 months, broke his hand. He kicked frees and marks, but it was just his general play, how smart he is. So if they can convince Conor McManus to stay on, I think he'll do well in their new rules and the new system. So we'll keep an eye on that one. Brian Hurley shot the lights out again for Castlehaven this weekend. 11 points, 8.
Castlehaven will be hard to beat.
They bet the Bears.
They'll be hard to beat.
So that's the crack, lads. I think we're all set up here behind us. We're not going to turn the camera, but we've got a lovely set up here. We're going to have our first of our Football Pod Club series with AIB, where we're talking to a load of very interesting characters over the next couple of months. We did something with the two Cliffords earlier this year. Go check that out if you haven't seen it. But, you know, it'll be similar kind of conversations to what we did with the two boys back in, that was March, wasn't it, with the two lads? Yeah, so looking forward to it. We'll have a chat after next weekend's football, and we will talk to you soon. Paddy Andrews, James Donoghue, good to be in person.
Cheers, Tom.
Thanks.
Very good.